Hi, come dive into the VS Test platform. We'll talk about new features, open source, architecture, and some extensibility. Hi, welcome to On.net. I'm Kendra Havens. I'll be hosting this week. I'm a program manager on Visual Studio and .net, filling in for Cecil. This week we're going to talk about test platform. So with me today is Sarabjot. Why don't you introduce yourself?
So my name is Sarabjot, and I'm a software engineer with the XPLAT testing team. We work, I come from the India Development Center, and I'm really glad I'm here.
First off, big fan. My day-to-day, I use the Test Explorer in Visual Studio a ton, and that's what we build out as my team. And we basically sit on top of everything that your team provides. So big fan, super excited to dig into stuff today that I don't usually get into. So what's new with the test platform?
There are a bunch of things we'll cover today. For example, the .NET Core testing. We have added some new features like the advanced diagnostics, and the parallel feature for efficient execution. So we'll cover all this as part of today's session. And that's more like.
Great. I think first you kind of wanted to talk about unit testing in general. I think everyone experiences some pain when they bother to write tests because their code already works.
Yeah. So believe me, I have been there.
Right.
Like when I started on this journey as a software engineer, So it sounds really counterintuitive, right? So writing a bunch of code, and then you have to write another set of code just to make sure the code that you wrote in the first place works fine?
Yeah.
That does sound counterintuitive.
And it already looks like it works fine.
Exactly. But what happens when you're trying to introduce a new feature? You need guards, right? So that you don't break the existing functionality.
Sure.
So that's where the tests come in. And they save a lot of time. As you know, when you talk about the timelines, I have seen tests really pay off. Because adding a new feature, like doing manual testing, is not something which is scalable, right? So you
Definitely.
Need tests as guards. And being able to deploy and get your releases out, it really helps time-wise and saves a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing I'd add is when new people are joining the team and they haven't yet explored this massive code base that they're getting used to, it's a good way to make sure they're not making changes where they really shouldn't be. And so it's just an easy way to help them sort of self-check, I guess, by running those tests before they make check-ins and onboarding to a new team.
And it's not just that. Tests really help you with the design as well. So when you think about testing, right, so along with the product, especially unit testing, because you are thinking of a particular module as a single unit, right? So you define the behavior that way, and you would the tests guide that behavior. So you're just freezing on the behavior when you write the tests.
Mm-hmm.
And it really pays off well when you want to refactor, for example, right?
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Great.
So let's dive into it.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. So let's talk about the stages in the test execution and how test platform comes into the play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the filter. So you scope the test, right? So the set of, you have hundreds of tests. Now you want to run a particular category of tests or you want to run a single test, right? So the first step is filtering out what you need to run, right? And then you configure, where do you want to run? What kind of tests are these? And what framework do you use? So all that can be configured via a run settings. And then you actually go and run, right?
Right.
So test platform does what? So it will set up the right environment for you. To it acquires the test adapters, make sure everything is available, and we are able to run the tests.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also provides you the ability to debug it. So it enables, for a particular platform, there are different debugging capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So test platform allows an extensibility for that as well. And then analyze, of course. So let's say I run a certain test, right? So what do I make out of the test? Let's say I need to know, what's my code coverage? Is the test that I'm writing even covering the product that I wrote, right?
Right.
So I really need to understand how much of the coverage I have, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where the analyze step comes into picture. And then reporting, of course. So Test Platform also provides for the extensibility, you know, write your custom loggers as such. Mm-hmm. Like, we have an inbox DRX logger, which is used everywhere. Like,
test results TRX.
Yes. So even in the pipeline, we use that to publish the test results. Mm-hmm. And you can write your own logger. So it's just one iTest logger implementation that you need to have. Mm-hmm. And then you're good to go.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk more about extensibility in a bit. But I just want to say, like, it's incredible. Like, I honestly believe that the test platform is really unique from like everything else in the industry, because so many languages work with it.
Yes.
And you get so much detailed feedback. And it is like, how many adapters do we have? Tens? Dozens?
Dozens.
Many dozens.
Yeah.
And so people can like write their test adapter and it just plugs in with all the extensibility points that we provide in the test platform, and tests will just run in Visual Studio, and it's just really amazing. I actually think there's over like 100 .NET alone test frameworks. I looked this up on Wikipedia once. And that is pretty mind-boggling, but it's super cool that we've, just architected all of this as something people can extend.
Yeah.
And still get all of these stages and filtering and configurability.
Yeah, so
super cool.
So the best thing about this whole thing is the seamless integration and the unified experience that you get. So the output that you get for the various frameworks that you're talking about, right? So the unification, it just makes your life easy. Like, understanding the same format, you know, it just helps that way.
And like, I'll admit, I actually thought the Test Explorer was magical, that it could understand all of this stuff. But then I later realized, like, we're just taking whatever the test platform returns and like showing it in our windows. Yeah. So thank you for that. Yeah.
So let's talk about the test platform V2, right? So we have had the MSS EXE, the test platform V1.
And this is different from MS Test V2, because that's just the framework. And this is the whole test platform that the MS Test framework just sits on top of, along with like all of our other adapters.
Frameworks, yes.
Okay. So this is a big deal, test platform V2.
Exactly. So test platform V2, why did we need the test platform V2? The main reason we needed Test Platform V2 was the .NET Core support. So we really wanted to converge our implementation. Mm-hmm. So in the past, what was happening, the test platform, right? As it was evolving, we had separate implementations for like, say, Universal Apps, you know.
Right, these EWP. Are all,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So when .NET Core came in, we thought it's the right time to converge, right? So we had a converged implementation, which was .NET Core based, and then we have platform-specific implementations. Both these implementations, you know, come together, and then we have the test platform that you see today. And the best part, it's open source.
Open source?
Yes.
Excellent.
And
that's super
not
cool.
Just that, it has very high extensibility, as we talked about, and it integrates with most like popular IDs, like it integrates with Visual Studio. It works with Visual Studio Code.
Yeah, we have multiple Test Explorer extensions for Visual Studio Code.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's not just the dev inner loop that we are concerned about, right? So it integrates with the outer loop, like the pipelines as well.
Sure.
So the .NET CLI, the .NET task that we have, the VSS task, which is for the reliable and efficient execution of the tests. Mm. And like, test platform is everywhere. It's just, you know, under the surface, so nobody actually sees what's happening.
Yeah, like I just get all the credit for it with the Test Explorer in Visual Studio, but you
actually we do the actual running.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's talk more about the open source stuff.
Yes, so, please.
So yeah, so we have VS Test as an open source. Let me go ahead and open this.
Here we go.
Yep.
So that's github.com/Microsoft/VS Test.
Exactly.
Because again, like usually I see github.com/.net, but VS Test Platform is for a lot more than just .NET.
Yeah. So there, you see, there are a bunch of contributors already. Mm-hmm. So we have been open source for a while now. Since .NET CLI went open source, we have.
So years, 2 years at least.
2 years already.
Wow.
And we have a bunch of issues, getting resolved, like, as we speak, almost like on a weekly basis. We have a couple of releases, you know, going out every month. Mm-hmm. And it's really good to see the test platform evolve to where it is right now.
Yeah, so very much a very agile, all in the open model.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
And it's not just that. So we have this package, which is the Xcopyable package, mm-hmm. which can be used in the pipelines if you don't have a VS installation. And you'll
so
be
this
stunned.
This is what I would use on my server to run the VS test platform.
The test platform, yeah.
Okay.
On like without the VS if you want to.
Right, because Visual Studio installs this just with the rest of the Visual Studio install.
Exactly.
But this is how you get it on any computer
Correct.
Where you want to take advantage of like the CLI and whatnot.
Yep.
Cool. That's your handy dandy NuGet package.
And then we have the docs. I think we can talk about that in the later half.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You just don't want me to give you crap for them not being on docs.microsoft.com. We'll get them there. We were debating about whether who has better SEO now, because the docs have been as almost a part of your GitHub repository for a long time. It is discoverable.
Yeah. So if you
searched engined it. I saw
so the ranking is pretty good.
It is good.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So let's talk more about the .NET Core testing as such.
Yeah.
And I think we can jump to a demo for this.
Please do.
So let's see how easy it is, right? So let's say I have this project. I'm going to add a new project inside an existing one. So there you go.
Easy as that.
Easy as that.
One of the default templates.
Yep.
Just have it. It's so easy to get started testing, everyone.
Exactly.
Default templates right there in Visual Studio. Right click, add to your solution. Feel better about your project.
Exactly. And
sorry, quick testing plug.
And all you need to do, just build this guy and you're up and running. Mm-hmm.
And I'm using the test platform.
Yep. And it's not just with the VS that you can use it.
Mm-hmm.
.NET CLI. We have a first class verb that you can use. So let me just it already has one. So let me create a new directory. I'm going to call it my test project. OK. And then I say .NET new MS test.
Nice. Yeah, so again, just dropping in like a unittest.cs file into your solution is super easy from the command line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is .NET test.
I love that verb. You got a good verb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. So got one passing test.
And it's not just like running on the Windows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can run these tests on Linux. Like you can build on one platform and run on others, right? Mm-hmm. So you can set it up using the pipelines. I think I already have one.
So this is a true part. It was truly written in the spirit of .NET Core because it's already cross-platform. You can run it on Linux or Mac or Windows.
So I have this pipeline which is running, right? So it has this .NET test. And there you go.
So you're in Azure DevOps. OK, so this is the CLI in your pipeline printing out to the command line.
Exactly.
So you see, and you use the same exact like verbiage. It was still .NET test and everything. It was just happened to be a different environment, but you didn't need to change anything.
Exactly.
Love this cross-platform lifestyle. It's good. OK.
So let's come back to our yes.
Yeah, so
this is one
that
of my
added.
Favorite features in the test platform.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to run in parallel, right? Now, we have had a lot of feedback in the past, right? So my test takes so long, and testing is, I need to have an optimal way of running the test.
Performance is our number one concern. We've done a lot to improve it recently.
Yep. And what we do with parallel is, based on the number of cores that you have on your machine, we will be able to spawn off the amount of test hosts which are going to run the processes which actually run the tests.
Mm-hmm.
We, like you see here, right? So let's say there are three cores on your machine, like And I'm just assuming, or you set the level to 3, right? So what happens is we spawn off 3 processes, and we assign each and every one of these processes 1 DLL at a time, like 1 test container at a time, like C#, like DLL makes more sense that way, mm-hmm. right? And all these processes are running in parallel. And I'm going to show you like how the time differs once we have like the test running via parallel and what happens before that.
Definitely.
Yep.
So here you're using, you're running VS Test Console.
Yep.
Not in parallel, right?
No, not in parallel.
Okay. So now we'll realistically wait.
So we'll see the test running.
Uh-huh.
And you might want to take a look at the new CLI experience that we have.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So it shows the progress as we run it, mm-hmm. and it actually shows the tests.
Oh, that's awesome.
With the time as well.
Oh my gosh, I remember talking about this in a meeting with you like months ago.
Yes.
Oh, this is so great, okay.
Yeah.
I feel bad I hadn't seen that already. When did that arrive? Like it's constantly updating the
yes.
CLI with what tests pass
it's
and fail.
It's not a long time ago.
Okay, like, so not too far behind.
Yes.
Was that do you think it was, you guys don't run on Visual Studio 2019 updates, but this was a while back, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to add this parallel. Sorry.
There we go.
Enter.
So you just need WAC parallel.
That's it.
And that was like 29 seconds?
Yep.
And this one, let's see. It already feels like it's going, 11 seconds.
Yes.
Whoa, nice.
And it's not just here that you can configure. You can actually go back to VS, mm-hmm. you know, enable this test run in parallel.
Yes.
Just click on this, and you can run it from
parallel.
The VS as well.
I really wish we could get feedback from the viewers, like how many people completely have missed this icon, even though it's been in Visual Studio for quite some time. But
yes.
There's always new things to discover in our IDE. I discover new things every single week.
Yep.
So. Yeah, we have a run in parallel button right in Visual Studio Test Explorer.
And it's not just this, right? So you can mm-hmm. actually define. So when I said /parallel, it went to the max CPU count, right?
Right.
So it maxes out the parallelization it can do. But you can actually define or restrict it to, let's say 2 cores or 3 cores. That's the kind of parallel you would want.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually configure it via a parallel.run settings. So it's as simple as it as you can see. So you just need a run config. You just put the max CPU count. If you set it to 2, done. It will run the tests with 2 cores.
And it's great that my .run settings file lives in my repository with all of my other test code.
Correct.
So even if I forget to set the setting in Visual Studio or something like that, or
mm-hmm.
I just run .NET test for my server, it'll immediately know I actually do want to run everything in parallel.
Yes.
In this. Very nice.
Yep.
Oh, and I see you're using a run settings file.
Yeah.
My memory is maybe a little faulty. Didn't we used to have a test settings file? What's the story there?
Test settings was something which was there in the older test platforms.
Uh-huh.
MS Tex.
So that's the V1.
The V1 stuff. And the prior test platforms.
Okay.
So MSS EXE used to be there, and it used to consume test settings. But with the new test platform,
mm-hmm.
we have deprecated the old flows. And with that, we have come up with something called the Settings Migrator, where we allow users to, convert their test settings into run settings.
Oh, so it's easily, just how do I run that, actually? If I have an old test settings file and
I have a doc on that, on the docs.
Excellent.
Yep. So the scenarios were getting deprecated, so we wrote this mm-hmm. tool, to just ease out this migration, and you just need this settings migrator.
.exe. Where do I download that?
It's already there.
It's already on my machine? Where, pray tell, does the settings migrator.exe exist?
So this is where the test platform is located.
Okay, so it's
and right next to the test platform, you can find the settings migrator.
Ah, so it's part of my Visual Studio install.
Exactly.
Okay, so I need to remember to go to 2017 Common 7 IDE extensions test platform. If I just run something from my like VS test command line, can I just run settingsmigrator.exe from there and target it at any test settings file, I guess,
yes.
I assume? Okay.
It's as simple as that.
Okay. Is it a global variable? Like, what is the
keyword? It doesn't have a global variable because this is a very
it's like a one-time
niche.
Use.
Yes.
Yeah, that
exactly.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm glad we already wrote something to help people kind of migrate over.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Now let's talk about the advanced diagnostics scenario. Like, this is one of my favorite features right now.
Okay.
So we had a lot of complaints in the past. You know, my test keeps, you know, the run keeps aborting. My test host crashes.
Mm-hmm.
You get the report, but you're not able to make out what exactly happened in the run, right? So I'm going to give you a demo of how this actually is affected. So it ran this particular DLL, right?
And VS test console, and then any DLL.
A particular DLL, which has a faulty test case, right? And I see there's a crash.
Yeah.
It reports back there's a crash, but I'm not able to make out where.
Ah, and you could have like
thousands
of tests, in that one DLL.
And you can't really figure out, right?
Right.
So we invented this feature called the blame. All you need to do is, along with the rest of the arguments, say slash blame.
Okay.
And when you say enter, there you go.
So
now you have this particular test, which is to blame.
Yeah, so which one exited unexpectedly while executing? Great, so now you know, now I know which one I need to
go. And I can go back to my code and simply click on my unit test file and, here's the faulty.
Recursion strikes again.
Exactly. So I can simply go ahead and fix it.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. So let's talk about the entire architecture. Like, how does test platform work?
Yeah.
And where all can I plug in as a plugin writer? You know, if I want to write my custom logger, or I want to write my custom data collector, if I want to write a framework adapter, how do I plug it in, and where does it get plugged in?
Right.
So let's go through that.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, because just opening your source code on the VS test repository might be a little bit daunting for first time contributors.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your tour?
Yeah. So we have to start with the VS or the client. Like, it can be your task or the studio code, any client, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has something called the translation layer, which talks to the test platform. And this brings up the test platform. The test platform, this is the vss.console.exe that we are talking about right now.
Okay.
So that is the exe which will orchestrate the rest of the processing.
Mm-hmm.
So it has two extensibility points here, which is the logger extensibility, where we talk about we have the TRX logger, the loggers get initialized, you can have your other format loggers, whatever XML.
Right, you said logger could be extended, so
yeah,
it's whatever test adapters have extended.
You just need to subscribe to a certain events, and then you're good to go. You implement a certain interface. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about that. I'll show you the docs how to go about and write a new logger as such.
Sure.
So loggers get initialized here. You have the host extensibility. By host extensibility, what I mean is your hosting environment. So let's say you have universal apps. Like, you can't host them anywhere, right? You need a proper hosting, universal app hosting for that.
Mm.
Now, how do you get that? This is via the UWP runtime provider. Now, let's say you are running .NET Core tests. So how do you get that environment? That's done by the .NET Core runtime provider. Right? So that is the pluggability for the test host.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I knew about the XUnit has its own console runner and stuff, but even that sits on top of the .NET Core runtime
yes.
that you're already using. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's Keep looking at your diagram.
Correct.
Don't let Kendra ad lib.
So all of this decision making and initialization is happening based on the run settings.
Okay.
Right? So based on the run settings, it also decides whether it needs data collection. And data collection can, like, we really don't want it to happen in the process itself. Because let's say there is something that bad happens with the test, you know, that process goes away. You want data around that process.
Yeah.
So what we do is we spin up another EXE. Mm-hmm.
Like
which,
you, sorry, just to expand on that, you wouldn't be able to report the blame and all of that if the
exactly.
data, if the process died and the data
exactly.
collector was inside of it.
Yeah. And that's
sense.
Where the blame data collector gets loaded. It's okay. It's a data collector, right? So when the test host dies, data collector is actually able
it's
to
fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a data collector which initializes the data collectors. And that's the extensibility point for the data collectors.
Okay.
And then the host comes in, where the actual execution will happen, where the adapters get loaded for a particular framework. And yeah, the execution goes ahead. And the results get reported back. As soon as the execution is over, the data collector gives back the attachments. The test platform, you know, combines all of that data and sends it back to the like clients, the VS, to show that in the UI.
Right.
That's all.
So super simple.
Yep.
Can go contribute tomorrow.
Yep.
Actually, since we were talking about the extensibility points and the different test frameworks, I get this question all the time. So I'm going to ask it to you to make sure I'm saying the right thing. A lot of .NET developers wonder which test framework they should be using. So since we have representative from MS Test, I thought I'd maybe hear your pitch. Versus MS Test, InUnit, or XUnit are the main three.
Yep. So when we talk about the test platform as such, I think we design the test platform in a manner it's agnostic to all the frameworks, right? So it does not have any framework specific implementation.
Right. No favoritism.
No favoritism. But me, like I have my bias, right?
Right.
I think
as an MS Test since developer.
Since I come from the MS Test framework team.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we really like about MS Test is simplicity, mm-hmm. right? It's very hard to author tests that way, and it's really efficient. It has a bunch of new features. It's quite extensible,
mm-hmm.
and I think we'll get to know more about it when we talk about MS Test.
Okay, yeah. We'll cover that in the next episode.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, I think it definitely has a lot of simplicity and really, really high performance.
Mm-hmm.
That not sure how the other test frameworks compare. I'm always interested in people like reporting back their numbers with what they see. But yeah, it's pretty easy to get started. So
yeah,
I like it.
So then, let's say you want to know more about like what's happening in this test platform space, right? So how do you go about that? So I have a bunch of links. I would like to show you.
How do I stay up so I don't miss the CLI execution actually reporting constantly on like what tests and updating as the test execution is happening? I want to know about that stuff.
Yep. So we have these bunch of docs that we talked about. So we have each and every step that we were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So analyze, configure, contribute. So you can probably go ahead and read about like how mm-hmm. test platform allows you to extend, how do you go around changing the run settings, especially because we are talking about configure. That's how you do, you have command line, and you have the run settings file to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are various ways to do that. And I would really encourage everyone to go read these docs so that you have a better understanding of how you can extend, how you can better use the test platform
mm-hmm.
to take as much value as you can.
Yeah. So our docs are all open source. So
yeah.
That's a good point.
And we have recently started doing something which is called the quarterly report.
Oh, yes. I've been seeing these in email, but
yes.
They're online. Excellent.
Because
yes. I don't read email.
So we publish what all issues came in this quarter, and we talk about the enhancements that went in, what all releases we have made, what were the top issues that got resolved. And what's the path next?
Excellent.
So what are we going to pick up next, in the next quarter?
You're merging .NET Test and VS Test? Excellent. Actually, we did kind of, I feel like we threw out a lot of console keyword names. Do you want to step through that really quick?
Mm-hmm.
MSTest.console was the old sort of test platform. MSTest.exe,
yes.
Thank you. Was the V1. It's now, we want everyone to use
VS Test. It's V0. So.
V0, sorry.
Yes, it's
even
V0.
Before that. Yeah,
yeah, it's even before that.
Okay.
And then we had VSSConsole.exe, which mm-hmm. is the TPV1, which used to stay in a different location.
Okay.
It used to stay in the test window folder earlier.
Yeah.
The implementation wasn't like .NET Core based.
Yeah.
And that's where we picked up and have made TPV2, which is the .NET Core version.
Okay.
So, and like the TPV1 doesn't work across like Linux or Mac, right?
But right.
TPV2 doesn't
jump. I'll actually watch out for that. So that's how I know I'm using TPV1 versus TPV2, is
yeah.
if it's VS Test console. Oh, sorry.
So the EXE then? Names are the same.
Oh, okay.
But the locations are different.
Oh, they're all VS Test console.
Yep.
Okay. And is .NET Test just a low-level wrapper of VS Test?
More or less.
More
so,
or less. Okay.
So .NET Test works in a way, so it's like a target for the MS, the .NET build, basically. Mm-hmm. So as soon as the build is over, our tasks pitches in. And so the VSS console that we have, so .dll, which is the implementation for .NET Core, comes into the play.
Okay.
And it's quite about, like, if you talk about .NET VS Test, is more or less the same as VSS Console, but it's mm-hmm. built for Linux and Mac.
Okay.
You can look at it that way.
Really weird question. Would technically .NET VS Test work with, like, a JavaScript test? Because it's a low-level wrapper of VS Test, or do you check to make sure it's a .NET Core test adapter coming in?
Not really. So as long as you're running on Windows,
mm-hmm.
like, and the adapter is supported there, it should just work fine.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
Like, so it all depends on the adapter's implementation.
Yeah.
So if you're running .NET VS Test or .NET like test
mm-hmm.
on a test where it's actually JS-based test and the adapter is .NET Core based,
mm-hmm.
everything should just work fine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I really hope the audience gets how magical this is. Anyway. Moving on, what else did we have? We shared resources, you had docs. What else did you want to look at?
I think what I would expect people to do is really give it a spin, right? So really try out these new features that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if at all you want to try out the pipeline stuff, the blame option that I talked about, right? So it's available as an option in the pipeline as well. I'm going to show you that. Yeah.
Yeah, so navigating over to Azure DevOps.
Yeah, and I have this VS Test task.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure most people would be aware of that.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
And we have this new option, this collect advanced mm-hmm. diagnostics in case of
catastrophic failures.
Yes.
We should run that string by PR to see if catastrophic is a strong word. Anyway.
So
okay.
it just has, like, the meaning would be, like, it has to tell you it's something which is unhandled.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So any unhandled exception
like
is considered
access violation,
catastrophic.
Stack Overflow,
yeah.
you know, something which the test platform cannot, you know, catch.
Okay.
And gets reported back as mm-hmm. something I don't understand.
Because the test platform would have crashed, but the data collector
would be
able to report
to
this.
Look at, yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Man, I'm so glad we got the best people working on this. This is so good. Cool.
Yep.
And
I think
that's
our
all. Final point. That's all. We're done.
Yep.
So everything new with VS Test platform. That was super cool. Thank you so much, Sarah Jot, for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thank you, Kendra.
Thank you guys for watching.